At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. 66 million years ago, North America, all North America divided into three parts. Appalachia, the mid-continental waterway, the interior waterway, and Laramidia. This is the basis to begin a conversation about Wild New World, a new book from Dan Flores, the A.B. Hammond Professor Emeritus of Western History at the University of Montana. And what Dan takes us is a time travel from 66 million years ago and the asteroid that changed the direction of evolution to the period of time that we're living in now called the Anthropocene, passing through a very important detail from 10,000 years ago called the Pleistocene. This is the story of mammals chiefly, but also the story of one kind of mammal. That's us, the Homo sapiens, the hominids who arrived twice, first from Eurasia thousands of years ago, and then second from Eurasia again within our memory, the so-called colonial Eurasians. Dan, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. And it's a pleasure to speak to you because of the sweep of your story. And also what I learn is the philosophy of dealing with the wild animals of North America. We begin with the dinosaur exit and the rebirth in the Paleocene period. The mammals that we speak of often now, today, we speak of the reduction of the buffalo. We speak of the wolf. We speak of the white-tailed deer. These were all developing during this long period of time from the exit of the dinosaur. We're going to concentrate on the Pleistocene. Were they all present during or after the Pleistocene, especially the ones that are familiar to us? Good evening to you, Professor.
Thank you, John. It's a great pleasure to be on your show. Well, they were all there in the Pleistocene. There's no question about that. But it had been the process of many millions of years to produce that effect. You need a span of time to assemble the kind of rich and diverse bestiary that North America had when humans first saw it. And that assemblage came primarily through two forms. One was indigenous evolution that produced animals like horses and camels and wolves and coyotes and jaguars and many of the species that we think of as indigenous to America, and some that we don't, like wolves and coyotes. Many people think of as being part of another kind of world, a Eurasian world. But they're all actually indigenous animals. And the other effect that produced this bestiary was migration from other parts of the earth whenever there were land bridges between North America and the rest of the world. And that brought us our mastodons and mammoths, and in fact, animals like deer and elk and sheep and goats and a whole host of others that we now think of as having been part of the American scene forever, but actually were immigrants from other parts of the world.
So what we're dealing with is an invasion of animals, mammals, to North America and eventually South America before the animal, the mammal we call human, invaded. What is surprising is the... In the logic of naturalism, species that are emigrating from Eurasia have an advantage over species that are already here. Did I read that correctly about how niches work?
Yes, you did read that correctly. And the primary reason the animals that came here from other parts of the world did have an advantage, at least when humans arrived, was because they had prior experience with us. And so one of the explanations for the winnowing during the Pleistocene has to do with these groups of creatures who are naive about humans, especially humans as predators, and those like, for example, elk and deer and caribou and many others that had experiences with us in the past and knew that we were dangerous. So that's one of the interesting nuances of the whole Pleistocene period when humans arrived, is that we have a differential effect on animals. And the same is true with birds as well, depending on whether or not they had experiences with us.
Yes, I read, and this is flabbergasting, the bovidae, sheep, goats, muskox, bison, all began Africa and Europe in the Miocene, which is 23 million years ago. We're talking about creatures from prehistory, pre-human, pre-everything, and they've evolved over 23 million years. Is the buffalo understood to be that ancient?
It is in its Eurasian, particularly Asian form. Now, one of the interesting things about the buffalo, and this is interesting in light of the fact that along with the bald eagle, it is one of our two national animals, is that the buffalo were actually quite late arrivals among this large group of creatures. We think that buffalo probably didn't get to North America until something like maybe between 250 and 400,000 years ago. So that is really late compared to animals like, for example, mammoths, which came out of Eurasia into America 17 million years ago, or passenger pigeons, for example, which have been here for 15 million years.
The impressiveness of this is that we come to the apex predators always. And at first, I hadn't been looking for them, but when they arrived, the big cats, the cats that we remember as saber-toothed tigers, the most spectacular, but it comes down to the jaguar. Are they all Miocene animals as well, coming from a far away?
Well, their progenitors are. The jaguar itself, the animal that we know in the Americas now, evolved in America after its progenitors had arrived. So we can claim the jaguar as an indigenous creature, but the big cats like cheetahs and lions all had their origins earlier than that and developed into their Pleistocene forms during their experiences in America. So we had a fauna that looked, including the birds as well, that looked very African 10, 15,000 years ago. And of course, we've lost most of those animals, but to try to imagine them, you really have to think of the animals in Africa to get a good sense of what was in America during those times.
A major theme of Dan's book is that we're mammals and that we express ourselves in life the similar, exactly the same as the mammals we've been discussing. And the professor follows the philosophy of that late in the development, I mean, in a period of time that's within easy memory, the second millennium AD. However, right now, we note that the early mammals and the early humans shared a deal in common, predation. It was predation to survive, Dan? Is that how we regard? And this is before Clavicia or during that period of time? Did the humans coming from Eurasia follow the migration routes of the animals?
They did indeed. Of course, our origins are African, and we had several precursor hominids in our same genus, like Neanderthals and Denisovans, that left Africa and got to Europe and Asia 800,000 to a million years ago. So there was a fairly early exodus of hominins out of out of Africa. And then when we emerged, modern humans emerged about 315,000 years ago, as far as we can tell right now. We eventually, about 60,000 years ago, we began to leave Africa, go to Europe, eventually into Asia. And finally, the last big continents on Earth we found were the Americas. But we were, as I tried to describe in the book, we emerged more than 2 million years ago as a carnivorous species, changed our lifestyle, our economy, and became predators, which of course has affected our evolution, our sense of ourselves, and our even our modern story. I mean, I go to some effort to describe in the book all the lingering neurological and limbic characteristics we still possess that date back to a time when we were purely hunters. And I mean, we had at least 40,000 generations of our time on Earth spent as pure hunters and carnivores. So this is something that's intrinsic to us. We don't think about it much these days. We don't tend to regard ourselves as animals, not even refer to humans as a species. We talk about the human race. But I go to some lengths to try to describe us in this book as another mammalian species, one that has emerged out of primate beginnings and become a carnivore. And it's our carnivorous habits that lead us around the world looking for naive and innocent animals to hunt.
The book is Wild New World, the epic story of animals and people in America. Dan Flores is the author. When we come back, between 13,000 and 12,750 years ago, Clavicia, the first humans in North America who have a change of approach towards the animals they find. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.